Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jack has been working at a certain law firm for years now. He graduated at the top of his class, but his career seems to be stagnant and going absolutely nowhere. He's been passed up for promotions time and time again, but he decides to do something about it. He decides to change how things are going. He decides to be the first person at the office and the last one to leave. He plans on forcing a smile on his face every time he walks in the morning, and he plans to try to be nice to everyone, especially the boss. And after a few months of this have gone by, a new position opens up, and Jack is confident that he will be the one who will get it. So the boss holds a special staff meeting to announce who will be getting this new position and pay raise. And the boss starts, "This person has been working very hard for the last few months. They've put in the extra effort and energy. They've been really a good team player, and they have loads of potential. I think it's obvious who will be getting this job. Jeff, congratulations, the job is yours." Hearing this, Jack's heart sinks. It literally skips a beat. And he turns to the person next to him, Keith, and says, "What do I have to do to get a promotion around here? I can't believe I didn't get it." And Keith replies, "Story of my life. I've been trying for years and I've been passed up. I can certainly relate." Story of my life. It's a phrase that's often said in sadness and in frustration. It can be uttered when the same bad or negative things keep happening to us over and over and over again. It can be a phrase said when we can relate with someone else as well. It's certainly a phrase that we never, ever want to say in our own lives. As Paul is writing Romans 7 this morning, you can almost hear him sigh and say these words, "Story of my life," as he talks about the baptized believer's struggle with the sinful nature. As a baptized believer, God is renewing Paul's heart, his mind, his will, and desires. God is changing these things. The Lord has made him into a new person, a new man who wants to live according to his will and his ways. However, there's one major issue: Paul's sinful human flesh. Paul's sinful nature wants to do its own things, its own ways, and follow its own desires. His sinful nature seems to want to do the exact opposite of what the new one wants to do. It's like building a block tower with a toddler. When I used to do this with my sister Caitlin, I would arrange them all nice and tall, and then when I would turn my head, she'd knock it over and then say, "Oops, sorry," and then give a snicker or a laugh. I wanted to build the tower. She had other things in mind. She liked knocking it down. Our renewed nature wants to do one thing, and the sinful nature wants to do the exact opposite. And Paul struggles with this conflict. He's frustrated, and he doesn't understand what's going on. He says, "For I don't understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good." Paul knows what he wants to do, live according to God's word and his commandments, but his actions reveal a different reality and truth. He often seems to do the opposite of what he wants. He wants to build the block tower, but for some reason he keeps knocking it down. He does what he hates, and he puts his finger on why that is. The apostle identifies sin and sinful nature as the culprit. He writes, "So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Paul isn't trying to excuse the sin he's done, but he points out the influence and control of the sinful flesh and the sinful nature. Nothing good dwells. He wants to do what pleases God, but he just can't do it in this flesh. And in fact, he can't, and this frustrates him. The evil he doesn't want to do is what he just keeps on doing. It seems that he's fighting a losing battle. And Paul's a clever guy, and he sees this pattern or law at work. He observes, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do good, evil lies close at hand. In cartoon or children's shows, you sometimes see those moments where the main character is confronted with a big, difficult moral decision. And when that happens, you see the two angels appear on each shoulder. On the one side, you have the good angel with the harp and halo. And then on the other side, you see the evil angel with the horns and the pitchfork that encourages the person to do the wrong thing. Paul notes that this dilemma is always before him for everything. It's not just for the big moral decisions, but it's even for the little, small, minute ones of everyday life. When Paul wants to do good, he says evil lies close at hand, and it's always an option, and it's ready to pounce. He says, when I try to do good, I still sin. And he describes this dilemma as a war and captivity. He says, his inner being, his new nature, wants to live according to God's word, but it's always doing battle with the sinful nature. In this battle, one side is always trying to overcome the other and to win the day. And this leads Paul to his breaking point. Listen to what he cries out. He says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul struggles with this conflict. As he looks at his life and his failings to do good, he says, story of my life. But as fellow believers, when we hear Paul's words in chapter 7, we say with him, story of my life, don't we? The struggle and conflict that he describes is real, whether we admit it or not. Some of us might confess this struggle openly and publicly. Others yet might try to hide it and put the best face and construction on things. But regardless, the struggle is there. It's real and it's here. And Paul's own experience gives us a window into our own. Just like with Paul, God is working in us through his word, through his sacraments, and through his spirit to renew our hearts, our minds, our wills, and our desires. He has made us into a new creation. But like with Paul, we still struggle and do battle with that sinful nature. We want to do good and live according to his ways, but we often don't. We want to trust God, but when problems seem to pop up in our lives, we forget to go to him or go to people or money or other things of this world. We might want to read his word, but then it's so easy for us to put it off to a later time in the day. We might watch another TV show or Netflix movie or continue reading another chapter, but as we put it off, that time never comes. We might want to be pure, but our eyes can wander off in lust. We want to talk well of others, but yet gossip can seem to be such a good conversation starter and hard to avoid. We want to do good, but we often don't. We often seem to end up doing just what we don't want to do. Sin and evil always seem to be close at hand and always an option. Is this frustrating? Yes. Is it depressing? You betcha. Is it disappointing? Without a doubt. We all have those days and we look at our lives and say with Paul, wretched person that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Romans 7 is the story of our lives, whether we like it or not. But Paul's story is not done yet. He says, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Even though the story of Paul's life contains this struggle, his story also includes God's grace and his redemption. God will deliver Paul from this body of death. And he has saved him from his sins. And this gives Paul a hope and reason to continue. Paul doesn't give up in this struggle, but he continues on in Jesus and in his grace. And with Paul, we say, story of my life too. For God forgives us of our sin in this struggle and our sins in general. He has saved us from sin's control and eternal death. He delivers us through our baptism, through his word, through his supper, where his grace is given and where he strengthens and renews us. Our God is with us in this struggle. As we fight between the new and old nature that we have, God is patient with us. And he shows us his grace even when we act like toddlers who knock down what he's trying to build and create within us. And we are comforted that the decisive victory against sin has been won at the cross and at the tomb. We will be delivered from this body of sin and death. In the American Revolution, believe it or not, the Patriots lost more battles than they won, but actually still won the war. That's because they won the decisive and key ones. We will lose to our sinful flesh in our lives. There's no doubt about that. That will happen. But the key victory and the final one has been won. Jesus has won that at the cross, and he will win again at Judgment Day. In Christ, we don't give up in this struggle, but we pursue on in him, knowing that he has won it all. This is the story of our life. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who has won it all. Amen.